Yes, Ronnie, they've been wonderful years. I wouldn't trade them for anything in the whole world. The testimonies that we heard last night were just precious. I wish we could hear everyone's testimony. Amen. They're so touching and so so much of a blessing, so interesting, and so different. It was just great. You know, I'm thinking of a fellow that I kind of miss at this conference. And you all know who he is. Hal Ayer. He's such a good man. Yeah. You can tell that he loves his wife, and he loves his wife's parents. They just arrived from India, I understand, a couple of days ago. I mentioned the date, October the 12th, to my wife, Kathy. And she says, "You know what, hon? Today, Lynn's parents arrived." She remembered that. She makes notes like that. And remembers those. You think they might be little things, but when she told me that, I realized what she does. It's a gigantic thing to me. So she said, "You better write them an email and tell them that you're glad that they're here." I was already on the computer doing an email to it. When she told me, "You know what? Today is the 12th of the month when Hal's parents come in. Lynn's parents, actually, from India. And I know you all are anxious to meet them. Aren't you?" "Yeah, yeah. I hope we get to see them." I know that, huh?
Might we have to ask them?
Yeah, well, you will have to hassle him. You're the hassler. But we love it, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's one of your traits.
Yeah. We've got to get that guy in. Biggest brain.
Well, I think of him often. I think of you often. I think of all you speakers often. And it actually generates my zeal to pray for you all. I'm going to think about South Carolina. I've never been here before. But the hospitality and the greetings and the etiquette, everything about, even in the grocery store, we went to buy some deli goods over there with Helen and Kathy and the little gal in the back helping us with our salads and things. "What would you all like?" You know, different things like that. You know, I think it's a beautiful accent.
Pretty good.
You know. Hey, I'm Eddie the Greek, remember? No, and they do it like it's such a natural thing. To me, it's like a language of affection and politeness and just a nice attitude, you know. It's they were that way all day yesterday. It was so nice, so neat. And back to Hal Ayer, he's like actually a funny guy. When Mike asks him, "How much time do I have, Hal? How much time do I have, Hal? How much time do I have?" Four or five times Mike asked him that. Well, poor old Hal was behind behind that curtain, screen, whatever it is, and he comes out there right to the microphone. "Mike," he says, "don't ask me anymore because you have some time left, and if you run over time, you just have to take it up with the president."
Where you get the hook.
Well, you get to work. You know what, Mike? That's so neat, because you and Hal Ayer make a great team. If I were a Hollywood person, I'd sign you up. Oh, okay, let's get back here to the lesson here. I enjoyed every one of the speakers, every one today and yesterday, and previous conferences too. But today has been very, very special. Very special. I liked Artis' talk and his zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. I liked that baseball throw that Tony threw to Pete, and he caught it over here with a red light. And the message, beautiful, beautiful. Mike, you just got done. Really nice. Let's see, who else spoke?
Jack.
Jack. I loved you. I loved you, really. I love the way you use that Greek. I love it. It's God's language. I don't care what accent you have with it. It's still God's language. And it's most beautiful language in the entire universe. We're going to be using it for a long, 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 long time. It's not going to be time anymore. It's going to be eternal, eternity. But it was lovely, lovely, lovely. I want to thank all of the speakers. And, you know, it's a funny thing to me. It's not really funny. I think it's divine. When Ronnie asked me to come and speak at this conference, I asked him, well, what's the theme going to be? And he says, whatever the Lord puts in your heart, Brother Ed. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart. And Kathy and I, we pray about everything, so we prayed about that. And she came up with some themes that needed to be discussed, and what the church would like to hear. The church, did you hear that one? The church. Yeah, I like that Ecclesia thing. So we prayed, and she came up with a lot of them, and so did I, and none of them fit at all. We could talk on a lot of those things, subjects, and discuss them. And I says, honey, I got it. Got what? The theme. Remember, we were trying to find the theme? How'd you like, what'd you think of upholding the head, Jesus Christ? And Kathy lightens up. She says, that's a good one. Okay, that's settled. So that's a good one. So guess what? We've got it here. Upholding the head, Jesus Christ. Christ is God, our head and our fullness. We heard a lot about the fullness today from all the speakers. We know who the fullness is. The fullness is the church of the one body in Ephesians 1:23. Let's go there for a minute. And see if that's so, like the Bereans did. 1:23. And Mike, if you have your Bible open to that chapter and verse, I'd like to ask you to read that.
Ephesians
1:23.
Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all.
Thank you. Which is his body, the what?
Fullness.
Amen. Right. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And he's the head of that fullness. With Christ and the body, it's fullness, pleroma. I'm doing a study on pleroma out of Welch's teachings. I love hearing Mr. Welch. I always want to call him Dr. Welch, but I don't think he likes to be called Dr. Welch. I would think he would probably prefer just Charlie. That's what I think. But in all due respect to the man, I'll call him Mr. Welch, or even Dr. Welch wouldn't hurt, as far as I'm concerned. And that Pleroma series starts with Genesis. And he knows the Hebrew. He also knows the Greek. And he starts with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That beginning, without making a real long story out of it, you know who that is?
Christ.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. If you were to read Genesis 1:1 in some religious class, in the beginning, they think it's the beginning of a time period, or the beginning of a mileage point to the next mileage point. It's the beginning of the first mile. No. No, it's not a measurement. It's Christ. Enarche in the Greek. Enarche. Created the heaven and the earth. And then you go to another beginning, which is in John 1:1. Enarche in ha logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh.
Yes.
And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of God. Full of grace and truth. All those words are rich, rich words. That's God.
Yes.
Made man. Made man. And we could go back to Philippians 2:7 like Pete did today. And that's how he humbled himself and became man. And then Pete showed you that DNA. He became that. Humbled himself. And then somebody else talked about humility today. The man who spoke before me, that's Mike. He talked about humility. Something I need badly. Something you need.
Yes.
Badly.
Yes.
We need it. Why? Because it is the power of God. And He is the one that worketh in you. And He'll work in you, just like I heard this morning. I'll tell you, this is a wonderful life. This morning, Ronnie picked me up at the hotel. And it was real early in the morning, and we just got up 15 minutes ago, you know. And we should call Ronnie and tell him that to hold up. We'll get there some other way, and he doesn't have to hurry. I said, no, you can't do that. Ronnie's already on his way. How do you know that? I know he is. Ronnie's on time. He's on time. I know he is. He's prompt. He's on time. He's a wonderful host. Not just because you're sitting there. I want to just compliment you, Ronnie. And because you and your wife, so considerate about getting the job done. Tony took me back and forth, shoved me back and forth to the hotel because we forgot our papers and we had to go get them. You've got them on your desk now. We'll discuss those in a few minutes because we got lots of time. How much we got time right now? Just kidding.
I'm not going
to
tell you.
That's funny. But anyway, back to Tony's shuttling me back and forth to the hotel. And then he gets a phone call on his cell phone. And we're just going right by the store where it's the last stop to buy a bag of potato chips. And somebody called you. Who was it calling you, Tony? One of the girls there did. And, I'll just make a quick turnaround. No, I'll just get those potato chips for you. That's so neat. So neat the way Tony handled that. He goes in, picks up potato chips. We come on over to the conference. Just so smooth and nice.
They have to do that for the president.
He likes potato chips, right? Did you have
that? I don't know why he's here because he said, anything we want, just yeah.
Did you like the chips, Bob?
Yes, I did.
They were ruffled, right?
Yeah, thanks.
I knew they were. That was so neat. Okay. More personal things like that, and I'm going to start bawling here in front of no big man like myself, crying in front of old people like yourself. Isn't that kind of silly? It really isn't. Well, then I will mention it. But please don't blink if I can say it without it. And then I see a little gal being held by Lori, and her name is Carly. I'm not ever going to forget her. Because I have one that looks like her, did look like her. She's 7 years old now. But she is a spitting image of Carly. And I just spoiled her rotten. Lexi, her name is Alexis. And Carly just reminded me so much of her. It's beautiful. And I could just see the love that when they were playing with her at home. I visited them. I had the pleasure of visiting your home. It's nice. And there was Carly playing. And then you see a grown man like Ronnie. Come on, honey, show him how cute you can be. This kind of stuff, you know. I'll tell you what. That's some of that humility you're talking about. And God bless us. God bless us. And I pray for that kind of humility. That way I'll be a lot nicer to my wife, see. Well, not. I hope I can be. And like Gardas said a while ago, I'd die for my wife. And you know what? I would too. Amen. We all should feel that way. Amen. And I know you do, you guys. I know you do. Praise the Lord. And it's all thanks. All thanks for the caris grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can anybody tell me what grace is? Can you really tell me what it is? Can you explain to me what grace is? Not defined. What is it? What does God say it is? What does God know it is? And who holds the bundles and bushels, and if it's measurable, who holds all that grace? Christ Jesus. And in the church of the mystery, the dispensation of the mystery, the church of the one body, are tapping into that beautiful, wonderful grace. We're also tapping into hope. One of my favorite scriptures belongs to my daughter that we used to do memory verses. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known. And turn there to 1:27, and then I'll say it real slow while you're looking in your Bibles. Colossians 1:27. It's worth seeing, and it's worth hearing. And it starts, to whom God would make known. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Can anybody do me the favor of reading it so I can hear it? You read what, Mike? Ronnie?
I read for you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Okay, now among the Gentiles there makes it a scripture that belongs in the dispensation of the current dispensation of mystery. Among the Gentiles. And the hope of glory, the word hope in the Greek, it's elpidas. And there's a further definition of hope in that word, elpidas. And I'm going to ask Kathy to tell me what it is. What is the further definition?
Existing
certainties. Existing certainties. Elpidas. That's hope. Blessed hope. The hope of glory. So it's already existing. It's already yours. Amen. And we're waiting for hope, that blessed hope, and the glorious epiphania, or phanero, in glory. And then there's another one. There's hope, grace, and faith. Faith, the Greek word for faith is pistis. Pistis. Faith. And now, how is pistis defined in the scripture? It's defined in Hebrews 1:11. Hebrews 1:11, faith is a substance. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. It's the evidence. Faith. Is the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 1:11. Beautiful scripture to remember and pin it right to your heart. Amen. Right to the heart of your mind. And the heart of the... You know that we have the mind of Christ, so let's start nourishing that mind with rich little pearls.
The verse you're referring to is Hebrews
11:1. 1:11? Thank you, Bob. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 11:1. Thank you. Did anybody else notice that besides Bob? Bob, thank you. Yeah.
The president can get away with it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hebrews 11:1. And I should know that. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is a faith chapter. So, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. It's the evidence. Evidence. Can you imagine faith being evidence? Well, it is. Of things not seen. Okay. Holding the head, Jesus Christ. Christ is God, our head, and our fullness. Ephesians 1:22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, who is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know that the truth that Christ is God was reaffirmed at the conference in Peru, Indiana, this past summer. And the theme of Jesus Christ, our head and Lord, was continued at Mineral Point. And now we're doing the same thing here in, it's not Seneca, but West Union. Sound like Western Union, South Carolina. South Carolina? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say here in South Carolina, we pray. It's not over yet. And I wish it was just starting because it goes so fast. Sometimes you wish you could back up the clock and live it over again. I think that about often. I wish we could turn back the clock to such and such a time, blessed times that we have. But they can't all be that way. It's the Lord who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He's got us on a time period. We don't know how long the time is going to be, but we're on time right now. And what we're doing is in holding the head, Jesus Christ, again, we'll go to, in doing that, we'll go to Isaiah 45, 18, 22. Chapter 45, 18, 22. And now I'd like to, if Kevin, if you have your scripture, could you read that for me? Isaiah 45, 18, 22. Verse 18 and verse 22. Don't read all the verses, just verse 18 and verse 22. In chapter 45.
For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord God, and there is none else.
Thank you. There is none else. John 17:5. Somebody, could you read that for me? Helen, are you there? In John 17:5. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God.
Okay, you said it twice then. Okay, right there. Sorry. Didn't mean to rush you there. 17:5, John.
And thou, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had thee before the world was.
Beautiful prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. Glorify thou me with the glory that I had while I was yet with you. That's a real, really, really touching prayer. Now, Philippians 2:6 through 8. Christ was in substance God. He laid aside his glory and took the form of a slave in the likeness of men. Now let's read Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 19. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were created all things, created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. You have your charts there now. Where you can see all those aspects there, that handout that Kathy Does everybody have one? Yeah. If you don't, you can share it with your somebody sitting next to you there. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For in him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. There's the beginning again in our key in Genesis and in our key in John 1:1. He's the beginning there too, the same beginning. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This last verse actually reads in the text, because in him was pleased all the fullness to dwell. To summarize these verses, verse 15, Christ, the image of the invisible God and firstborn of every creature. Verses 16 through 17, Christ created all things. Verse 18, Christ, the head of the body, who is the beginning, there it is again, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he must have the preeminence. And that preeminence means first in everything. He's first, number one, none else before him. He is God, Jesus Christ, and to him who deserves that is the first and is called the preeminent one, preeminence. Christ is the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, like I mentioned a while ago. God created the heaven and the earth, John 1:1 again. Revelation 1:8. Diane, could you read that for me? Revelation 1:8. Revelation. Okay, he's the beginning there and the end. Kathy, could you read 22:13? Okay, I think I have another scripture here to be read. In the ending saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 19, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. See also, I think we went through it already, but it's Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, Christ, our omnipotent God, is worth discussing. And in Matthew 28:18, Christ says, all power is given unto me. Ephesians 1:19 and 20, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, in the heavenly places is ton uranon, which means the heavens far above all heavens. And it can also be en tois, epuranios, in the highest of heavens. And that's where God dwells. God dwells there, Jesus Christ, at the right hand of the Father. Now, the right hand does not mean that God has an anatomy of a right hand here and a left hand here. No. In the Greek text, the right hand is defined as a power, a symbol of power. It's a word, the right hand of God. He's given the dignity of all power. That's what right hand of God means in the scripture. Genesis 1:26, and God said, this is where the Lord begins to his plan of redemption. He says, let us redeem, or let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And he made Adam from the dust of the ground. And he was, man was really nothing. Like Mike said a while ago, we're really nothing. We're dust of the ground. But created and made in the image of God. But the image, that image is not quite yet done. We have to go through a period of time and suffering and blessing and trials and everything we're going through now until the new man. And that's the new man that the Lord is created. He already sees it as created. He already sees us as a temple fitly framed. We've seen it in the scripture. And he also sees us at first as the church of the one body, temple, and then the fullness. The fullness. And you would find that in 1 Corinthians 15:24. I'd like to go there. And I'd like to ask Mike to read that for me. 1 Corinthians 15:24. The reason I like to ask Mike to read, because his voice just carries so good. But this passage of scripture, did you find it, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, go. Please.
1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
Keep going to
for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The at last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him.
And 28.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
That God may be all in all. And that is begins with, then cometh the end. Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered. When this. When the other. When until God may be all in all. And you know, it's nice to say that because for one special reason. Tony and I were going back and forth to my hotel and back, and we're discussing things, and it was nice to hear Tony say that. It'd be nice to be, and when finally God in us, in Christ, we will be all and in all. Tony, thank you. Thank you, by the way, for taking me to the hotel. I'm back. Okay, I don't want to lose my place here. I've got a lot of material here, and I'm kind of skipping around without going over too much. Christ, our omnipotent God. That's the topic that we're in now. Now, the manifold nature of the work of Christ, that's the topic that we had in Mineral Point, if you recall. The manifold nature of the work of Christ. I believe that the redemption, our redemption, the redemption of the world, the Redeemer does a complete job, a perfect work. And he sees it in God's point of view as already completed. And we should be encouraged by that. Genesis, from Genesis 1 to Revelation, the very end, all will come to pass. Christ came to do the work of the Father in John 5:36, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works shall I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Let's see, that's 5:36. Go to John 5:36 and somebody else read it. That, I didn't like that. I think I missed a word or two. I did it out of my paper. Let's do it from the Bible here. John 5:36. Who's going to volunteer? Go.
But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me.
Very good. Very good. That's the way to do it. John 9:4. Do that for me too. Would you please? Artist?
I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.
John 10:37 through and 38. Artists.
If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that he may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
Beautiful words. Thank you, artists. And then in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:12 says, But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And Ephesians 4:10 says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That is an ascension victory, and we cannot ever forget that that is one of the victorious moments of the church today through Jesus Christ our Lord. His ascension, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. He did a complete job. He did a finished work, like somebody else mentioned a while ago. I think it was Mike. Finished work. It's finished. When he was hanging at the cross of Calvary and spoke, and he said, "It is finished." He wasn't talking about, "I just got finished off, or this crucifixion is over, and I'm through suffering." No. The complete work of Christ is finished. He didn't say anything about the dispensation of the mystery there, but let me tell you what, we are enjoying that finished work today.
Yes.
Amen. And we're going to continue to enjoy it because it's true, and it is a finished work. And even today, the blood of Jesus Christ has a cleansing power. And that power, dunamis, also means, if you look at your Analects or lexicon, you will find that dunamis is not only power or might, it is also miracle. It's miracle. And nobody can dispute that, because it's the power of God, and he does miraculous work. He works by doing miracle things. He's the only one that can do miracle things. I don't know what he's going to let us do when we're with him. I don't know. But you know what he did say? He says you could have anything, what you can ask or even think. Well, I can think some pretty nice and powerful things that I can ask the Lord later on. And I'm sure that he will honor them. Because that's what he promised. I hope I can get a mind that can think really good and really nice and big. And it'll be for the benefit of all the church. Because with the prize of the high calling, I hope and pray. Because that's not automatic. The goal is not automatic. It's a goal. Our goal is to go for that goal so that we can receive the prize of the high calling. We have the reward of the inheritance, yes. And it's already outlined here, accepted in the beloved, and all of those beautiful things, and the adopted sons of God, and all of that, all that beauty and truth and real, it's yours. But we have to have a goal for the prize of the high calling, and the prize of the high calling is an out resurrection. Yeah. I believe if we make the prize of the high calling and keep that zeal and keep our eyes focused on that goal, we can make it. We can make it through long suffering. It's going to take long suffering. It's going to take humility. It's going to take what God outlines directly in his word. We've got it here. We've got the blueprint right here. He's already given us a little peek or glimpse at the treasures of all wisdom. We've got that. But we don't have the prize of the high calling yet. But it's available yet. That's one reason why I just hang on, Lord. Help me to hang on so that I can. I don't want to miss on the prize of the high calling. The Brabeon, the prize of the high calling. The Brabeon. I want to focus on the Skopan, the goal of the Brabeon. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. And that ruling in your heart is Brabueto, comes from the word prize also. Act as umpire. The Lord can act as umpire in your heart. If we ask him with humility and everything he outlines for us here, he can honor it. He can honor it. There's a beware that is katabrabeon, and it's the word beguile. Beware lest any man beguile you out of your reward. The prize is the reward. See? I'm just trying to make a point there. I would love to make it. I would like to make it. And I know I need prayer for it. And if I can get you folks to pray, I'll be selfish. For me to attain that prize, I would appreciate the prayer. And I know that I'll be under attack. I know I'll be under attack. We all are under attack. Like Mike said a while ago. We are. But that's not anything to be afraid of. Because we already have the victory. We don't have the prize yet. But we have the victory already. And that victory is big enough in itself. Huge. Can you imagine how much higher and larger the prize is? The prize of the high calling. I don't want to wear that out. I don't think I can anyway. But I'm also going to pray for you for the prize of the high calling. That's what we want. That's what I want. I know you want that. I know you want it too, Mike and Diane. I know. I know we all want the prize of the high calling. And we'll accept the love, joy, and peace, patience, goodness, gentleness. There's also long-suffering. Sometimes you say, well, I don't want that. Well, yes, you have to have that too. Faith, meekness, and temperance. All those are the fruit of the Spirit. The way we go with it. Okay, the body upholds the head. Upholding the head. That's a huge topic in itself. Because many rewards have been lost in the past. Or can be lost, rather, by not holding the head. Because that is Jack mentioned that a while ago. Not holding the head is really falling short. It's really a cardinal sin. I mean, it's falling short in big time. Not holding the head. So, that's why he said, up holding the head. Let's hold the head. Even Christ Jesus. Every opportunity, every step we take. I can say it to you. And you can say it right back to me, too. And I will certainly be with you, right along with you, holding the head. And okay, Colossians 2:18 will prove what I just said. In Colossians 2:18 said, let no man beguile you. Beguile is the word katabreo. Cheat you out of the prize of the high calling. Satan does not want you to have that. And then Mike talked about the enemy a while ago. And that's one of his objectives. He can't have it. And he doesn't want you to have it. He doesn't want me to have it. But we in the church want each other to have it. It's not as something to be selfish about and not we'd like to go in the out resurrection together. It would be great. Be super. Be a wonderful thing. So pray for me, if you will. Kathy and I will pray for you too. And I know Jack and Melda pray that way together in their prayers. You, all you other brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, praying people, I know you are. Include us over there in South Dakota where it's frigid cold. You know, we're over there freezing to death. I'm just kidding. It's 80 below zero sometimes. But only when it's a wind chill. A couple of days out of the, every 30 days maybe, in the wintertime. But we're out there praying. We've got a lot of time to pray. Yeah, it's great. I've got an old crow's nest. I've got a two-story house. My daughter went away to college, and I kept her room. I made a crow's nest out of it. It used to be called Rachel's room. Now it's the crow's nest, Ed's crow's nest. Boy, it's a nice place. Mike's been there. Got some good stuff in there. Okay, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. See, not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Those are the two words there that are really, to me, some key words. And there are key words that you should remember. It is the having nourishment ministered. Nourishment ministered. That means that the Lord Himself is, to put it really bluntly, He's injecting nourishment of wisdom, injecting the nourishment of encouragement, and who knows what the Lord has. But anyway, it says over here, having nourishment ministered and knit together, because we are His workmanship. That's why I'm saying, who knows what all. But we are His workmanship still. Paul warns and instructs believers to walk worthy. And we talked about that. And Colossians 1:10 says that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days actually are evil. Let's redeem the time because they are evil. And sometimes we find it very, very difficult to redeem the time because of some of these wiles that the enemy likes to put on us. And let's not give him that much glory, because the Lord has much more power than he does. And if we use the Lord's tactics for victory, humility being one, and prayer being another, and many other ways that we have the victory in, love one another, the Lord said. And that's another way to win the victory. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Time? I'm not that far ahead. I mean, I just got a few minutes. Huh? Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You see, here is power offered. You will know the power of His resurrection, and you also will know the fellowship of His sufferings. It's right there in Philippians 3:10. And Philippians is the prize of the high calling book. That's where you find items regarding the prize of the high calling in the book of Philippians. Colossians 2:2-3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, the best defense against error. Here's the best defense against error and falling short. I'm going to tell you. It's to herald Christ. If you want to learn about the mystery, herald Christ. Study Christ. You want to learn about the fullness? Study Christ. You want to learn how to defeat the enemy? Study Christ. Hold ahead, because from the head comes the nourishment minister. Beautiful thing to keep in your heart and to know. Herald Christ in all His fullness, to seek wisdom, for apart from Christ is deception. He holds the treasures of all wisdom. A simple test of any teaching is, what place is given the Lord Jesus Christ? In all things, Christ should have first place. That's being preeminent. Colossians 1:18, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So, like we heard a while ago, I'll outline them real quick here. Beware of man's devices here. Vain, hollow, empty, deceitful philosophy, human wisdom, tradition, bondage, rudiments of the world, outlook and ideas of the unsaved world. Like Jack said this morning, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, those commandments and religion. We have been redeemed from all of that. We don't need that. I have a little nephew who would talk baby language, and I'd offer him something. He said, he would say, "I no need that, Grandpa." Well, we do not need that. We don't need that, all that religion. We don't need it. We love the people. We love the people. We pray for those people. We pray for their salvation, one. And then we pray for them that the Lord would choose them to come into the revelation of the mystery. Wonderful way to live. Wonderful way to fight the battle. Colossians 2:8 and 2:18 is to spoil you. The word spoil is to make a prey of you. Beguile you is again kata babueto. It's to cheat you out of the prize of the high calling. I'll repeat that again. I did. Let's not forget to live fearless. Fearless. How can I say that and be so confident about that? Because you can walk in Christ circumspectly, walk worthy, and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is a little more confidence for you there. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when God hides something, it is hidden. Nobody can find it. Pray for each other. Praying for each other. Paul asked for prayer himself. Read Colossians 4:3-4. With all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Like I mentioned last night, that word utterance is logos, word. That I would open it for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Utterance of the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul was a prisoner. He wasn't a prisoner of Rome. He wasn't a prisoner of Caesar. They couldn't, if God wanted him out of prison there, out of Rome, God could just take him out of there. He was the Lord's prisoner. And Paul loved every bit of it. Can you imagine some guard chained up to Paul, and then it's time for him to change shifts? Well, I got to come on, let's change shifts here. I mean, I got to talk to whatever his name would be, let's say Bartholomew, if he's a guard, and he's chained up to his wrist. And Paul's over there studying the Word of God with all of his parchments and everything, and doing some writing while he's in prison. And these guards... many people got saved that way. And what a place to be. I mean, he is the Lord's prisoner. He wasn't a prisoner there that wanted to escape or anything like that. Maybe he did, but the Lord saw to it that he got blessed and encouraged. I think Paul's a pretty hard man to discourage. And I think that's the way we should be, because, well, I know we should be that way, because the Lord said to be imitators of Paul. And I pray I can be. I mean that. I'd love to be an imitator of Paul. Okay. Again, about prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me also, that utterance may be given to me, again, there's utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. See? The mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. Ambassador, not prisoner. Ambassador in bonds. That's what he says. See? That there I may speak boldly, there as prisoner. I just said that in my own words, but The Bible says it a lot better. Speak boldly as I ought to speak.